We're checking in on the off-the-charts number of people, patients, being treated at hospitals in northern, western, and central Wisconsin. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hospitals face staffing crunches. Beds are full. Marshfield Clinic Health System has 9 hospitals, more than 50 locations, and dozens of communities. Are you a frontline healthcare worker? What do you need now to fight COVID? What questions do you have about the virus spread and what happens next? It's 800-642-1234. Dr. William Melms is Chief Medical Officer for Marshfield Clinic Health System. Dr. Melms, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
What is the current status of your hospitals? What can you tell us?
Well, let me start by giving you some perspective about where we're at by telling you where we came from. If in our hospitals, we have 9 hospitals spread across the rural parts of the state. We have three of those hospitals are critical access hospitals. If we go back just 2 months the same day in September, we had 12 patients in all of our hospitals. Last week, we had 100. Yesterday, we had 141. If we look across the state over that same period of time, we've seen an increase in hospitalizations of over 640%, with an increase in ICU utilization of over 450%. We are at a crisis point here with hospital census and COVID patients.
Are you having to divert patients? Are your beds full?
Our beds, this is a very dynamic process. So our beds will be full at times. We will do everything we can to discharge those patients who are appropriately ready for discharge. We open up patients, our ERs fill up, and we fill those beds up once again. There was a report from the day before yesterday in northwestern Wisconsin that there were 0 ICU beds available. Yesterday, I think there were 2 beds. These are very dynamic, as I say. And
sure,
what we try to do with ICU beds is move patients down to lower acuity levels as soon as we possibly can. As far as diverting patients, we certainly do everything we can to not divert patients. We really don't have places to divert patients to. We just need to make room.
You need to make room. I'm wondering, how is your staff holding up? We've heard of hundreds of staffers sidelined due to needing to quarantine, testing positive.
At any one point, I would say that we keep kind of close tabs on this. About 15% of our frontline workforce is out. And those employees are out either because they are sick themselves or they've had exposures, particularly exposures at home and out in the community.
And when you say 15%, what does that mean? I mean, who are those? Are they nurses? Are they physicians? Who are these 15%?
All of the above. Everyone that has participated, well, not just our frontline staff, but I mean, all of our staff, because really the incidence of COVID in our communities is so high. Our staff are not just healthcare workers. They're also members of the community. So we see those numbers cut across throughout our entire staff.
Where are you looking to help fill in when you don't have enough staff to cover a shift? What do you do?
Well, we're doing a variety of things. First of all, our inpatient staff, they're working more. They're working more shifts. They're working longer shifts. And then what we are doing as our next layer of intervention is we are asking our staff that normally works on the outpatient side to step up and work on the inpatient side. We have sought outside agency staff. We have been able to sign some agency staff, but because surging is really going on across the country now, agency staff is just not as available. You know, back
in
April.
When you say agency staff, explain what you mean by that.
So agency staff, this would be nurses, respiratory therapists, for instance, that they work for a staffing agency. They mm-hmm. may live outside of the state of Wisconsin. We contract with the agency. They send the staff to come up to work for us.
We're talking with Dr. Bill Melms, Chief Medical Officer for the Marshfield Clinic Health System, learning how its system with about 12,000 staff is doing in the pandemic, taking your questions. How do we stop the spread of the virus? How do you convince your friends and neighbors to stay safe? And what happens next? Join in at 800-642-1234. Dr. Melms, what is different here than what New York City faced early in the spring?
Well, back in April, when New York City was facing what they were facing, there was not the pandemic surge elsewhere across the country to the same extent. So they were able to ask for help from around the country. And in fact, we had workers from Marshfield go to New York to help out. And we were very proud of the fact that they did. And as we were watching that, we were certainly not anywhere near surging in Wisconsin. The cases were very rare in Wisconsin, at least in our part of the state. So we thought, as we watched that, that if and when it came our turn, then we would be able to get those staff from around the country. And unfortunately, that just has not been the case at this point.
You can't reciprocate in the situation where so many parts of the country are needing that staffing, have hospitals full.
Correct.
So when you do get staffers in who haven't worked on that floor, who are new to your system, how do they acclimate and get up to speed very, very quickly to work the floor to kind of bring into the fold, if you will, what's happening, on that floor?
Well, it's somewhat variable. These staff generally are very familiar with the concept of having to be flexible, of having to learn a new system quickly. So really, for the most part, the staff that we get in are very good. And our staff are certainly appreciative of that staff coming in. So they are more than willing to help teach. The staff sometimes is variable. Not all of the staff is quite to that level of competency and engagement.
There have been reports in North Dakota allowing asymptomatic healthcare staffers work in that situation. Are you nearing that? What do you think of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a very good question. And I also saw that a nurses union in North Dakota has protested against that. And I'm not sure if that's going to continue or not. But it's certainly in the cards. I think everything is on the table at this point. Really, we may very well have to get to a much deeper levels of intervention here. We really have to look at this and say that it would be magical thinking to believe that our hospitalizations are not going to continue to rise. As we see the new patients' cases rise in Wisconsin every day, those cases become hospitalized patients. We will continue to increase the number of patients in our hospital. We are at or over capacity at this point. 2 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, we could be overwhelmed.
We have Marshfield Clinic Health System Chief Medical Officer Bill Melms. He's a family practice physician. He's giving us a window into how the 9 hospitals in his system are inundated with COVID patients and what they're doing to handle the surge. What comes next? You can join in. What can you tell us about the pandemic? Are you an essential frontline worker? What do you need now? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Dr. Bill Melms here on the Ideas Network. We're checking in on Wisconsin's increasingly dire COVID situation, what hospitals face. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state's chief medical officer with the Department of Health Services, Dr. Ryan Westergaard, says we're close to a tipping point. At yesterday's briefing, he said hospitals are strained and will run out of staff before they run out of physical space.
We've heard there are some hospitals that have no ICU beds available as of today. So it's a matter of degrees. There are likely areas right now where hospitals have to go on divert and cannot accept patients that they normally would.
Are you a frontline healthcare worker? What can you report? 800-642-1234. Dr. Bill Melms is Chief Medical Officer for Marshfield Clinic Health System, and he stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's take a call now. Melissa is joining us from Northern Wisconsin and is an emergency room nurse. Hi, Melissa. What would you like to say?
Hi. I was just wondering. I don't work for Marshall, but I work for a different health system. And we are expected, if we become sick or we have to be tested for COVID, we have to be tested, and we're off work while we're awaiting test results. But if our test results come back positive, we are still expected to come to work as long as we feel able to. And, you know, I have two small kids. They can't go to school and they can't go to daycare if I'm positive. So, you know, does Marshfield or do any other health systems have any plans in place to help their caregivers, you know, to cope with a situation like that?
Dr. Melms, what can you say to that situation?
Yes, it's an excellent question, and it's a difficult one to answer. We have been doing what we feel that we can to provide help for our employees who are parents of with children, whether they are sick or exposed, or their kids are sick or exposed. Not easy answers. You know, we have had early in the pandemic, we had some daycare situations we were looking at. Making connections between some of our families who have kids, for instance, that were in high school or in college and were home, and making the connections between our employees and those kids. We had a kind of a volunteer board up that has worked to a certain extent, but there are really no good answers for this, because the personnel is just simply not available to provide that assistance and that care. So we have had, this is what contributes to our 15% of our work staff home, is many of those are at home taking care of their kids.
Melissa, thank you for working in the ER, and thanks for calling in. Patty is with us now in Appleton. Patty, hi. What is the situation where you are?
Yes, good morning. I'm a laboratory manager for two critical access hospitals with ThetaCare, and you know, we have the supply issues that we're constantly chasing to get the test in that we need. So that's one front. But besides staff being out with COVID, we also have a shortage of medical technology programs and students coming out. So we're seeing a double crunch in, you know, having to battle this disease, but also, you know, work with staffing crunches. So from a laboratory perspective, we do everything we possibly can, from frontline workers to behind the scenes to, you know, just helping the whole system manage through this supply chain issues.
So supply chain, meaning not, you know, you're trying to graduate more workers into the field, into lab work, but also are you finding you have enough supplies themselves, enough PPE, for instance?
PPE, we're good on, you know, we rely on the health system, and they've done a very good job managing that. It's, you know, the testing supplies we need, but also other supplies that we need might have back orders per se, because just of the raw supplies needed, could be microbiology supplies. So for laboratorians, this is a new territory, and every day is just managing both of those fronts, along with taking care of our patients.
Yeah, thank you. Dr. Melms, what is the situation like with supplies where you are, your system, with PPE and other supplies?
Yeah, first, I appreciate Patty's comments. I know in Appleton, in that area, they're on the leading edge as Wisconsin started to surge. We have been doing pretty well with PPE supplies compared to early in the pandemic. We source supplies everywhere we possibly can. And that has been certainly much easier than sourcing personnel. Lab has been another challenge. We have been performing approximately 12,000 tests per week in our lab. And what happens is as we perform more tests, the turnaround for those tests, the results tends to or does get greater and greater. And the longer the turnaround time, the less valid the test is, because things can change between the time that we obtain the sample then and the time that we result it. That is certainly another additional challenge that we faced.
We're talking with Dr. Bill Melms of Marshfield Clinic Health System. He's a family practice physician and chief medical officer, taking your calls and questions on COVID and the situation where you are, especially if you're a frontline worker. 800-642-1234. Wesley is joining us from Fall River this morning. Hi, Wesley.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead with your question.
So if you get COVID and you get better, so then you have created antibodies, are you immune to it, or do you end up getting the COVID after, say, 6 months or even 3 months?
Yeah, Dr. Melms, what is the latest research on that?
Yeah, so an excellent question, and we certainly hope you're immune to it. But we haven't been doing this long enough to be able to tell with a great deal of certainty. We know that if we do a test on you and we see antibodies to the spike protein of the virus, we believe that that is protective for about 5 or 6 months. And then beyond that point, we just don't know yet.
Wesley, does that make sense?
It does. But then also there was talk about if you was to get the vaccine, that it would only be good for a 3 month period, and then you could be able to get sick again.
There again, we don't have enough information yet. That will take much greater experience with vaccine once we have vaccine available to determine how long the immunity will be. We know that it'll be a two-shot series, whichever manufacturer sort of wins the race on this, but we don't know how long that immunity will last.
Wesley, thanks for those questions. We heard from Amanda in Milwaukee, who had actually called in yesterday and wanted to share. She's a frontline worker, and patients are coming in with pending test results and not being honest about waiting for those test results. And Amanda says this is a concern she has, because some people end up testing positive. And she says people shouldn't be going out in public if they're awaiting test results. Can you speak to the issue of quarantining?
Yeah, well, that's one of the big problems in our state, and I'm sure everywhere at this point, is that when people are told to quarantine, if somebody is symptomatic and we do a test on them, we ask them, public health officials ask them to quarantine until those results come back. But we're seeing really poor compliance in many cases with that, and that's incredibly unfortunate, and it is contributing to the spread of this illness.
Governor Evers has asked the state to stay home in a statewide address this week. He stopped short of issuing new orders to close schools or businesses. But what actions, what policies do you want to see from the state in this situation?
Well, I believe Governor Evers has done everything he possibly can. And we truly need something that's not just simply a governor's executive order, because as we've seen, that gets struck down. We need legislative action. I'd love to see the governor and the legislators work together to come up with policy that could stick and be effective. Truly, with the rate of increased positives that we have, with the demands on our healthcare system, our hospitals are going to be overrun. We need to have a lockdown in the state. We truly need to go into a safer at home order for about 14 days to cool things off.
And mask wearing.
Mask wearing, absolutely mask wearing.
How optimistic are you about the Pfizer vaccine or the other vaccines in production in trial now?
I was thrilled to hear the Pfizer preliminary results. If we can have a vaccine that has 90% efficacy, if they can make enough of it, if we can get it distributed, if we can have the cold storage available, that is the path to being past this pandemic.
What does your day look like today? What are you faced with in your job?
Well, my day is like every other day. It started a few hours ago. and it will go until about 11 o'clock tonight. There is lots to do. We have a lot to do to direct the pandemic, to direct our response to the pandemic across our 9 systems. I have to say that I'm extremely fortunate to work with tremendously dedicated individuals, those that direct and run our hospitals, and those that see patients on the front line.
Dr. Melms, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your work.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Dr. Bill Melms is Chief Medical Officer for Marshfield Clinic Health System. Coming up, we look at the future of the Affordable Care Act as the Supreme Court hears a challenge to it. More than 23 million Americans are currently covered under the ACA, and that conversation is after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.